Now, long COVID is estimated to affect up to a third of all Americans who have ever contracted COVID-19. The exact number is unknown, but millions of people are experiencing the often debilitating symptoms of long COVID, which can include cognitive impairment, difficulty breathing, dizziness, fevers, autoimmune disorders, and more. WPR reporter Madeline Fox talked to Wisconsin teenagers who are suffering the effects of long COVID. Here's 17-year-old Rowan Wilson of Watertown, who got COVID in December of 2020.
Every time I would like sort of get one new symptom under control, another thing would come up, and I'm like, I've never dealt with this before. What is this? This is awful. I can't handle this. And it would just take over my life.
We're talking about long COVID, what we do and don't know about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or your loved ones have long COVID? When did you realize something was wrong? What are your symptoms? What's it been like to live with this new chronic illness? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Madeline Fox is WPR's K-12 education reporter. She published a story about teenagers in Wisconsin coping with long COVID. Maddie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You talked to two Wisconsin teenagers. Rowan, we heard there also. Ava, what kind of stories did you hear from them about what they're experiencing with long COVID?
I mean, I think that the clip from Rowan really gets at a big part of it, which is that it's just one thing after another. Both Rowan and Ava talked about, you know, first starting to realize that their case of COVID was not going to be over in the expected, you know, couple or few weeks. And then it was just an ongoing series of new and different symptoms. Some of them were really weird. You know, Rowan talked about full body itching, which was just really miserable. Ava has actually had some complications she's got a disorder where her body doesn't really make cortisol anymore. And that her doctors think came out of her long COVID diagnosis.
Why did you want to look specifically at teenagers who are dealing with long COVID?
Part of it is that I talk to kids. I mean, that's a big part of my mm-hmm. job. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of conversations about what kids are missing in the pandemic. And we've seen, you know, really, really steep costs to students not being able to go into their school buildings, to missing milestones. But I think it's also important to think about what the consequences of this disease can be. And I was just so interested in how that affected kids in Wisconsin, teenagers in Wisconsin.
With long COVID, and we'll talk to a guest about this in a bit, there's, I think, still a lot of mystery surrounding it, a lot of uncertainty about what symptom matches it, that sort of thing. Did you get a sense that apart from feeling bad, that uncertainty, that mystery was a big problem for Rowan and for Ava?
Absolutely. One of the frustrations that Rowan talked about was that doctors couldn't give him a lot of information, right? I mean, both of the teenagers talked about their doctor's saying, like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I've never seen them before, which is really not something you want to hear from your doctors. But, yeah, I think just the frustration of knowing that something was wrong and having a sense of where it came from, right, COVID-19, but not necessarily being able to articulate why it was wrong in this particular way or explain to their friends or their family members exactly what it was like to be living through that and what that meant in terms of, you know, things that they couldn't do anymore. Or, you know, Ava, for example, has to take medication really regularly. If she's not hydrating religiously, that has really bad consequences for she gets exhausted. And so just sort of fumbling their way through both trying to understand this and trying to explain it when they just don't have very much information.
Maddie, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
Madeline Fox is WPR's K-12 education reporter. You can read her story on Wisconsin teenagers dealing with long COVID. It's up at WPR.org. Now we're taking a look at some of the leading theories about what is actually happening in the body when someone develops long COVID. Dr. Jason Goldman is an infectious disease physician at Swedish Medical Center in Seattle. He's co-author of a recent study on risk factors that can contribute to long COVID. Dr. Goldman, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on the call.
Before we get into that study I just mentioned, Dr. Goldman, where are we? Where is the medical community now on kind of defining what long COVID is and how prevalent it is?
That's a great question, Rob. It, as you've mentioned, long COVID can affect up to a third of patients. I think that's a pretty good estimate. We saw that in a large study, looking at more than 200,000 people. It was roughly a third had symptoms that persisted to greater than 3 months. Some of the other, you know, medical studies that have kind of amalgamated lots of different smaller trials find an even higher rate. But I think a third of people who experience SARS-CoV-2 infection are going to have some, you know, remaining symptoms. And, you know, as we're aware, the symptoms are really quite numerous. And, you know, as Rowan was experiencing one thing after the other, that's what I'm seeing in my clinic as well. Patients are just having lots of different grab bag of symptoms. It's a sort of a laundry list. And some can come and some can go. And they affect really all major organ systems. So we're still defining it and what types of symptoms, you know, do get better over time, you know, versus what might be kind of persistent for even longer. But I think the medical community has really acknowledged this as a major public health problem.
Your co-author, as I mentioned on a study, it came out last week about things that might make someone more likely to develop long COVID in the first place. What kind of things did you find in this research?
So in our study, we did a deep dive into the biology of long COVID, and we looked at around 200 patients in one cohort and then a sort of a validation cohort in a totally separate 100 patients. And we assessed, their status at the time of acute infection, and then again later at about 2 to 3 months after acute infection. And we had, all the patient-reported outcomes, so we know who developed long COVID. And what we found were really four major risk factors that, when present at the beginning, at the acute infection, could predict who might go on to develop long COVID. And those four things were, one, autoimmunity. That's where the body makes sort of antibodies that attack itself. It's in conditions like lupus, we see autoantibodies. The second thing was the presence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, genetic material in the blood at the time of acute infection. That does track with severity, but that also predicted long COVID. And we also saw another virus called Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, which is the virus that causes mono. Also, when that was present in the blood, it predicted long COVID. And the last thing was diabetes.
So you just named some really common conditions. A lot of people have diabetes. A lot of people, whether they've been sick with mono or not, have Epstein-Barr virus, right? That means a lot of people are going to be vulnerable to long COVID?
Well, that's really what we're seeing, Rob. You know, a third of people who develop SARS-CoV-2 infections are going to have some, at least one or more persistent symptom. And, you know, we know that, you know, there's really been 79 million Americans who have been infected with this virus so far. So that's really millions and millions of Americans who have either experienced long COVID in the past or are still experiencing it. So it's very common.
What are some of the theories out there right now about what causes long COVID? Why the effects persist after that initial acute infection?
Yeah, so our study and some other recent papers have really been starting to uncover the biology here. And one of the leading theories is about autoimmunity. So, you know, autoimmunity is it's what causes type 1 diabetes, but also conditions like lupus and other conditions, that are sometimes have some of the same symptoms like the chronic fatigue and joint pains and other things like that. So there's a well-documented literature now about the development of autoantibodies after COVID, but also people who have autoantibodies, which might be kind of subclinical or not apparent before COVID, it might get exacerbated by COVID. So that's really one of the leading hypotheses. Another very intriguing hypothesis is about the persistence of virus or the persistence of viral antigen. And what I mean by that is if there's little bits or parts of the virus that are sticking around in the body, that might also stimulate inflammation. And there was a recent study done by the National Institutes of Health. It's not peer-reviewed yet, but it was recently released And it studied patients who died of COVID and looked at persistence of virus in the tissues. And it really found extensive evidence for persistence, even in patients who die of COVID, you know, many weeks out from the initial infection. So I think those really two stories, in my view, are going to be driving what we're going to be, you know, learning more about in long COVID and what kinds of interventions we're going to develop to try to address this major problem.
We're talking to Dr. Jason Goldman, infectious disease physician, co-author of a new paper on risk factors associated with long COVID. Coming up, we'll look at what those different ideas might mean about treatment of long COVID. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When we talk about long COVID, are we talking about you or someone in your family? Did you have COVID-19 and are still feeling a weird array of symptoms months later, a year later? Have you found anything that helps your symptoms? If you're a care provider, have you seen patients dealing with long COVID? What kind of things are you seeing? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk now with Dr. Jason Goldman, infectious disease physician at Swedish Medical Center in Seattle, co-author of a new study on the risk factors for long COVID. You can join in with your questions, maybe your experience with long COVID at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Goldman, two ideas there about the causes of long COVID, autoimmune disruption, autoimmune problems, and persistent virus. Do either or both of those point us toward treatments for people dealing with long COVID?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I think both of those ideas are foundations of how we might treat long COVID in the future. I want to stress, you know, our study and the other recent studies that have been looking at the biology of long COVID don't really point the way right now clearly to treatments that we can use in the clinic today, you know, which is unfortunate because so many people are suffering from this. We do need to kind of take some of these ideas that come out of the biology and test whether treatments will work. But yes, both of those ideas about you know, autoimmunity or persistence of the virus, both of those could have implications for developing treatments. And specifically, medicines like steroids or other medicines which modulate the immune system are commonly used to treat other autoimmune diseases. And then if there, you know, really truly is the persistence of virus, then an antiviral approach might also have a beneficial effect. But again, I want to stress we're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. Rob, there's one thing that Madeline mentioned about Ava and how her doctors found low cortisol in the blood. This is very interesting to me because that was also one of the findings in our study. We saw that in patients who were suffering from long COVID, they did have decreased levels of a number of stress hormones, including cortisol and cortisone. And that might be one of the things that is kind of immediately actionable. If a physician can, you know, do the test to prove that in their patient, then I do think that patient is likely to, you know, benefit from replacement steroids. So I'd be sure that Ava's doctors are talking with her about that and considering those options.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hello. So I have multiple rheumatological issues. I have antiphospholipid syndrome, which I understand that there are some antiphospholipid antibodies that are seen in COVID patients, as well as cytokine storms, which is something that happens in APS. But I was also diagnosed after having COVID with rheumatoid arthritis. And speaking with people in my group, specifically on Facebook, and talking with the administrator, the group has been around for a long time, but it's tripled in size since the beginning of the pandemic. And a lot of the people are saying that they've been newly diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm wondering if maybe it's just long COVID that's disguising itself as RA, or,
interesting.
You know, are there ties to that?
Tim, thanks for the call. Dr. Goldman, is that something you've been seeing?
Yes, we've seen quite a number of people with joint complaints, some of whom have really objective evidence, like fluid in the joints. And in some studies, there was one meta-analysis done recently that's a combination of other different studies. Up to 19% of people who, quote, recovered from COVID had persistence of joint pains. So I think this is definitely one of the features of long COVID. And again, I don't think we've really pinpointed for specific symptoms what might be the specific biology underlying those symptoms. We're still at a very general, phase where we're kind of aware of some risk factors which predict, long COVID, which, like I've mentioned, is kind of a grab bag of lots of different individual conditions.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. We are talking to Dr. Jason Goldman, Swedish Medical Center infectious disease physician, looking at long COVID, possible causes, possible consequences, and cures. Back to your calls now. George is with us in Ashland. George, hi.
Hi. My question is this. There's a rather large group of people who have suffered COVID who are fully vaccinated and boosted. And so what I'm wondering is whether their vaccination status makes them any more or less likely among those who have suffered COVID. Does it make the vaccinated any more or less likely to experience long COVID? Is there any information on that?
Interesting question. Dr. Goldman, do we know yet?
Thanks, George. That is a great question. There have been a number of studies which have tried to address this very question. What we're talking about is whether patients who are vaccinated and develop SARS-CoV-2, i.e. if they get vaccine breakthrough infections, whether or not they develop long COVID or whether it's at the same rate. And the jury's still a little bit out on this one. There was two, pretty good studies that I've accessed, one of which looked at patient-reported symptoms through, an app. And that one showed that, the long COVID was reduced by about half in those patients. So that's good news. The other study looked at a medical claims database and up to, 10,000 patients who developed breakthrough infections. And in that study, there was no reduction in the incidence or the development of long COVID. So I think we're still at a point where we're not sure about the answer to this. But I think from what we can extrapolate from other conditions and other viral infections, I do think vaccination is going to be really important in reducing long COVID. So I tend to, kind of agree with that study that showed that it's likely to reduce it, but potentially not fully.
Thanks for the call, George, and the question. Tom joins us now in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'd like to ask the doctor, for those COVID patients who previously were diagnosed with autoimmune diseases, after COVID, are those autoimmune diseases that they had prior to COVID infection, are those exacerbated?
Dr. Goldman, you mentioned that people with those autoimmune disorders are more vulnerable to long COVID. Do their existing autoimmune conditions get worse after COVID?
Thanks, Tom. I'm not 100% sure about that one. I think we have seen some anecdotal evidence of that. But in terms of, kind of population level evidence, I don't really know if that's a feature that's very common. But I've certainly seen a number of cases of that. And we've also seen, cases of new onset autoimmune processes after COVID. So I think all of the data together, really does suggest that autoimmunity is a major feature in COVID and in long COVID. But specifically on your question of whether autoimmune conditions are exacerbated, I'm not entirely sure.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We had a question. I don't know if the data will be here on this yet either. Maddie and DePere wanted to know if different variants have different long COVID outcomes, Alpha, Delta, Omicron, and so on.
Not sure about that question either. I think, it's probably still a little too early to know if Omicron is going to have the same prevalence of long COVID because we're just kind of getting out of that wave now and not quite at the point, 2 to 3 months out where we're going to really be, diagnosing long COVID. That variant was interesting in that it definitely seemed to have more vaccine breakthrough cases, but less severe cases, more kind of upper respiratory illnesses, but less pneumonias. That said, plenty of people developed very severe COVID from Omicron just because so many people were infected. But overall, it was thought to be a less severe, variant than some of the previous ones. And, when we have fewer patients winding up on a ventilator, I do think we're going to see less long COVID. But again, the jury's still out on that one because it was so recent.
In our last minute or so, Dr. Goldman, still a lot to know about long COVID. What is the number one pressing question in your mind?
The pressing questions are to further develop these ideas of what's causing that and to associate very specific symptoms of long COVID with the underlying biology. And that's going to be the foundation for clinical studies that will assess treatments. The National Institutes of Health is running a very large nationwide trial that will enroll more than 17,000 patients to study long COVID. And a lot of answers are going to be coming out of the study, in the coming months and years.
Dr. Goldman, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Dr. Jason Goldman, an infectious disease physician at Swedish Medical Center in Seattle, co-author of a recent study on risk factors that may contribute to long COVID. He talked to us today about what we know about long COVID and what researchers are still trying to figure out.